Well, good morning. Wow. Man, just like in worship, I just love being in God's presence with you guys. I just love being in his presence. So thank you for worshiping. So this morning, I'm going to share my heart with you this morning, okay? And I'm just going to tell you, I'm just going to get on my soapbox a little bit here and share what I feel like God has deeply ingrained in me as a follower of Christ. So we're going to start. We're just going to kick it off right away this morning. The first thing we're going to show you is a couple of pictures, and we're going to talk about this a little bit. But the first picture you're going to see here is of the Javanese people group. This is a people group on the island of Java in the islands of Indonesia. And out of this people group, there's 21 million people within the Javanese. Only 1% of the Javanese are considered followers of Christ. Only 1% out of 21 million. To break that down, that's one out of every 100 people be followers of Christ. In this room, if we were the Javanese people and every chair in here was filled up, only 6 of us would be followers of Christ compared to the Javanese. The next picture I want to show you here is of the Tajik people from Tajikistan. This people group has 7.6 million people in the group, and out of 7.6, only 0.05 are considered followers of Christ. 0.05%. That is one out of every 2,000 people. To give you another analogy, if we went and packed out the Summit Ice Arena at the Monument, every seat filled, which holds about 10,000 people, only 5 people in that whole arena would be considered followers of Christ among the Tajik people. The last people group I want to show you here is the Bengali people from Bangladesh. In this people group alone, there's 135 million people. And you're getting the point here, right? Only 0.06% of the Bengali people are followers of Christ. So if we had 3 full auditoriums like this with every seat packed, 3 of these, we would have 1 follower of Christ among the Bengali people from Bangladesh. And this is just the beginning of a story like this. Among our world today, there is 7,220 people groups just like this, with unique languages, with unique cultures, that have no idea who Jesus is, that do not have the privilege of knowing a God like Jesus. And my question that I want to present to us this morning is that, do we believe, as Fountain Springs Church, do we believe that God, who we're just singing to, like worshiping, the one that created everything, this God that we love and worship, do we believe that he desires that these people know him? Do we believe that? I hope so. And if we do believe that, if we believe that he desires them to know him, the follow-up question with that is, us as Fountain Springs Church in Rapid City, South Dakota, what are we willing to do to make sure that these people get to know who he is? Like Katie said, my name is Matt Melvin. I had the privilege of working on the Next Gen ministry team here at Fountain Springs for the last 3 years. So I spent a lot of late night on Wednesday nights and long weeks at NTS camp for the last 3 years, which is really, really awesome. But throughout my walk with the Lord, God has been inviting me and our family into a journey of unreached people groups and making sure that these people know the gospel. And so this morning, I want to start by sharing my story with you. I want to tell you how I met the Lord, where I come from, and my background. And then I want to tell you a little bit of what God is inviting our family to do as we ourselves are preparing to move overseas as missionaries. And I have 3 specific goals or things I want to cover in this message this morning. The first is I want to bring an awareness to our church this morning of what the need in the world is. Sometimes I think it's really easy to kind of get focused on what's happening in our nuclear world, just our families and our workplaces and our friends, and we forget about the rest of the world. So I want to bring an awareness to us this morning of the need. The second thing is I want to encourage you that you have a God-given specific role that Jesus is inviting you into what he is doing around the world. Every one of you sitting in this room has a role to play, a calling to do. The third thing is I want you to invite you to partner with our family. Like I said, as we are moving overseas, I want to invite you to be a financial sponsor with us, but also I need your prayers. We need you praying for us because the places that we're going to talk about today, they're unreached and they're hard to reach for a reason. And we need your prayers as a family. So I grew up in the Dallas area. Is anyone in here somewhat familiar with the Dallas, Texas area? Yeah. If you're familiar with that area, I grew up in McKinney. And when I grew up, you know, my family was a little bit broken, just a little bit of a broken history. I have a lot of drug addiction history in my family. And so when I was born, I kind of went from place to place a lot, moved in with grandparents and aunt and uncles and friends and different things like that. And when I was in the third grade, I moved in with my dad and my stepmom, who later adopted me. And I really loved the way that I grew up. Like, don't hear me say that like my kid years were like a bummer, because they were not. I had a lot of fun. But one very specific important detail about the way that I grew up is my mom and dad are what we would say are atheist or agnostic. Simply, there is no belief in God, or if there is, we're just not going to pursue a relationship or knowing this God, right? So as a kid, usually what happens is like whatever your parents tell you, you kind of just say, okay, yeah, that's what I'll believe too, I guess, right? And so as a kid, I just chose to believe that God is not real. And I'm not going to base my life around following this God. When I was 16 or 17 years old, I started drinking quite often. Almost every night of the week after school, I would come home and I would drink. And on the weekends, I'd go hang out with my friends and we would go drink and do all the things that we knew we weren't supposed to be doing. But I didn't have any direction for my life at that point. And I just thought, this is what I'm seeing a lot. So I'm just going to go ahead and do that and see if I can have fun doing that. When I graduated high school, I went into firefighting school, and there was no real motivation in me going to firefighting school other than two thoughts. Like, one, I don't want to be broke the rest of my life, and two, I don't want to be bored the rest of my life. So I thought, I can make a decent money, you know, being a fireman, and I get to run into burning buildings. Like, that sounds like a blast. Like, this is what I want to do the rest of my life. And so the first day that I went into firefighting school, I met a guy named Lane. And at this point in his life, Lane had just gotten out of Bible school. And it was kind of like blowing my mind that someone can spend 4 years studying the Bible. If you remember, the way that I grew up was like, it just didn't line up and it didn't make sense to me. But that day that I met Lane, he gave me an invitation that changed the trajectory of my life. Lane simply invited me over for dinner that night. He said, hey, do you want to just come over and eat with us? And when I got there, that turned into, hey, do you wanna go to the gym with me before class? Or hey, do you wanna go eat dinner with me before class? Often it was Chick-fil-A. It's kind of a bummer. We don't have Chick-fil-A here, come on. And over about 6 to 7 months, Lane shared the gospel message with me for the first time in my life. No one had ever shared with me before that point. And I was kind of wrestling with this thought of, do I want to follow Jesus or do I not want to follow him? And I think Lane knew that. He knew that I was continuing to live the way that I'd always lived, kind of doing my regular routines, you could say. And Lane came to me one day and he said, Matt, I think, like to use Fountain Springs terms, he said, I think you're on the fence about Jesus. He said, I think part of you, you want to follow him and you want to give him your life, but the other part of you is like, you don't want to give up the party scene. You don't want to give up this life that you always wanted. And he said, I just want you to know that you can't have both. You can't keep living in this world and continue to follow Jesus. You have to choose. You can't stay on the fence. And so a couple of months later, on April 30th, 2018, I got to work one morning and And I remember thinking that morning, who am I? Who am I becoming in my life? And I remember thinking, my family history is like really messed up. Am I becoming like the people I always said I would never become like? And in that moment of thinking about who I was, I heard a voice speak to me. And I don't want you to get the wrong idea about this and say it was something that it was not. It was not an audible voice, but the best way that I've come to describe this voice is a very loud thought. Can any of you relate with me in that way? That sometimes God speaks in really loud thoughts. And this loud thought came, and he said, Matt, is the person that you're becoming who you want to be for the rest of your life? And I remember like thinking about this thought, and I'm like, this is not me asking myself this question. This is something other than me asking this. And in that whole moment, I remembered Lane telling me that if I chose to listen to God, that I could hear his voice and have a relationship with this God. And so in this moment, I just responded back and I said, no, I don't want to become that person. And this loud thought came again and he said, Matt, if you give me your life, I will change everything. And so on April 30th, 2018, I surrendered my life to the Lord. And I said, everything I have, everything I am is yours. I'm done with everything. And I stopped hanging out with my friends that I was hanging out with us at that point. And I stopped drinking and I stopped doing a lot of the things that I knew I wasn't supposed to be doing. But the things that I don't want you to hear me say that like, wow, Matt, you're amazing. You do all these things. Trust me when I say this was like the grace of God over my life in that moment to say, I want to transform you. The same invitation that we have all experienced. If you are a follower of Christ in this room, you've experienced the changing grace of God. And so a couple of months after that point, I was in my room one morning just reading my Bible. And I asked God, I said, what do you want me to do with my life? You know, I was getting this sense that the Lord was saying not to be a fireman anymore and that he was inviting me into something different. And I didn't know what that was. So that morning I just was really clear and really bold with God. Like, what do you want me to do? And God so clearly in that morning again spoke to me and he said, Matt, I want you to be a missionary. And I want you to go to the places where the name of Jesus has never been heard. And I want you to tell them about me. And that changed everything in my life. A couple months after that point, I was on a plane to go to Townsville, Australia, to go to a missions school. You can see the picture up here. It's a really beautiful place. And I'll save you all the details. At this school is where I met Leslie, and really, really romantic. We got to do long walks on the beach, ate lots of ice cream, and stayed up really late. But we ended up moving back to the United States after our time there, and I went back to Dallas, and Leslie is from here in Rapid City. And so I moved up here eventually about 5 years ago, and we got engaged and got married. And right around the time that we got married, we decided, like, let's let Leslie get through nursing school. She was in school to be a nurse at that time. Let's get through that portion of life first, and then we'll consider going back into the missions world. And something happened a year after we got married that I don't regret by any means, but I don't recommend by any means as well, is we had our first kid. Her name is Howla. And if you are in nursing school right now and you are like considering like having a kid at that point, like don't. Like just don't do it. You need your sleep, and we did not get sleep in that time. But Leslie is way tougher and way better at everything than I am. So she did it. I just changed the diapers. And we got through that season of life. And after Leslie had graduated, Howla was still very young. And we just decided, man, I feel like God is inviting us back into the missions world, but we don't know what that looks like. So let's just run from zero and take some steps and see where God would lead us. And we found an organization called Global Partners. And if you don't know this about Fountain Springs Church, Fountain Springs is a Wesleyan church. It's part of the Wesleyan denomination. And inside the Wesleyan denomination is a organization called Global Partners. It's kind of the missions organization for the denomination. And we decided to partner with Global Partners really because of their heart to reach the 4 in 10. At this point in our morning, I'm going to shift the message a little bit here because I want to get into what I mean about the 4 in 10, or what I mean when I say a term that, like, unreached. When we are in the missions world for any length of time, you often will hear the word unreached or least reached. And I want to define these terms for us a little bit this morning. The first way I want to define this term is the way that Scripture defines this term. So the Apostle Paul in Romans 15 says this: "My ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. I have been following the plan spoken of in the Scriptures, where it says, those who have never been told about him will see, and those who have never heard of him will understand. In fact, my visit to you has been delayed so long because I have been preaching in these places." Now, to give you context here, this is at the end of the letter to the Romans. Paul has written this beautiful letter to them, kind of encouraging them on some ways, but also criticizing them on some others. But at the end of this letter, he says, "I want you to know, like, I long to be with you, but my desire, my eyes, my will is so focused on being in the places where the name of Christ has never been heard that I have been delayed in coming to you." And if you know this story even further, Paul's ultimate desire was to get to Spain, where the name of Christ had never been heard at that time. And so Paul is showing us here that his ambition was to be in the places where the name of Christ had never been heard. Another definition I want to look to is from an organization called the Joshua Project. This is a website that you can go to, and it has a lot of information about unreached people groups and reached people groups, but it has a lot of information about what the needs specifically are still in our day. The Joshua Project defines unreached in this way: an unreached or least reached people group among which there is no indigenous community of believing Christians with adequate numbers or resources to evangelize this people group without outside assistance. So I want to break this down a little bit more. We're describing the term unreached. So for a people group to be unreached, statistically what that means is 2% or less of a people group has to have any access to the gospel, okay? So what I mean by access is three things. When someone has access to the gospel, that means that they have a Bible-believing Christian in their area, right? Like all of us sitting in this room, we have been saved by the gospel, we have heard the gospel, and we are living in the gospel, right? So we have the power and the privilege of sharing this good news with those who do not know. That's the one first way that people have access. The second way is by the Scriptures. People that can read the Bible in their own heart language and read about the things that God has done. So when you hear Katie talk about how, like, Fountain Springs is partnered with an organization that is translating the Scriptures into all the languages of the world, that is so important because that is a primary way that people hear the gospel. The third way that someone can have access to the gospel is through a body of believers, right? It's through a group of Christians meeting together regularly, worshiping God through his word and in whatever way they feel fit. And so to be unreached means that 98% of a population has no access to one of those three things. And that's astounding to me. I want to show you a map up here. This map is what we call the 1040 window in missions terms. The reason it's called the 1040 window is because it's around this 10 degrees latitude and 40 degrees latitude. But this region, I want you to see all these red dots right here. And you can see the scale. These red dots are what we in the missions world would call the last frontier of our world. This is where the mass majority of people in our world today have little to no access to the gospel. This area right here. And these areas are unreached because they are hard to reach. But I want to tell you this morning that God desires that these people know him. The same way that he desires that you and I know him, he wants these people to know him. And I want to show you this in Matthew 28. If you have a Bible, I want you to open to Matthew 28, or a phone. You can get your phone out and go ahead and go to your phone. I want to make this really clear for us this morning. If you have a phone or a Bible, I want you to highlight this verse, this passage right here. This is verses 18 through 20, and I want you to very specifically mark this in whatever way you find is helpful, because this passage of Scripture is what we call the Great Commission. This is so core to who we are as followers of Christ. Just like Paul, this should be our main focus of our lives. As we sing songs like, "I surrender all," we should also be thinking, I surrender all to wherever you tell me to go, whatever you tell me to do, based on the Great Commission. So we're going to read this. This is some of Jesus' last words to his disciples. He says this, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always till the end of the age.'" I want to take a second and we're going to break this down. But I want you to see what Jesus is not saying here. Jesus does not say, "Hey guys, you just spent the last 3 years really working hard. I walked a lot of places. So just go home, make some coffee, just chill out, and don't do anything. Because when you do stuff, you'll mess it up. Just wait there. I'll be back at some point in history, and I'll make everything right." That's not what he says, right? He says, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He says, "I have a mission for you to go and tell people the things that I've been telling you over the last 3 years." But I want to hone in on a specific word here that we'll miss if we don't kind of study it. It's the word nations. Now, sometimes when we see nations, we think, oh, it's like the nations around me right now. But in Jesus's time, when he's saying this, the nations of the world are not what we know it as today. The names are different. The border lines are probably different. What Jesus said here as a word of nations is a Greek word called ethnos. And basically what this word translates now into English is ethnic groups or people groups. So maybe a better way to read Matthew 28 is go into all the people groups of the world. Go into all the ethnic groups of the world and tell them all that I have commanded you. And this is so central to what God desires for our world. And I want to show you that in some Old Testament verses. We're going to start here in Genesis 18. So follow along with me. "For Abraham will certainly become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him." So context here again, this is right before God is going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and Abraham kind of intercedes with God about this moment. But look at what God says. He says, "I will bless Abraham so that all the nations of the earth will be blessed through him." Sometimes when we read the story of Abraham, we think, man, God really loves Israel. And that's true. But look, God is blessing Abraham to make a nation that will not only be a blessing to the nation alone, but for the whole world. He says, "My desire is to bless the whole world through this one man." The next verse, Psalm 33:8, it says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him." God's desire is not just for one nation, one people group. It's for all the earth to revere him and know him. The next verse that we are somewhat familiar with is Psalm 46:10, and we go, "Oh, that's good. I needed to hear that today. I love this verse." And rightly so. This is a beautiful psalm. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." But a lot of times we stop there, right? And we go, yeah, that's really good. But I think if we miss the second half of this verse, we miss the fullness of who God is. It says, "Be still and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." God is not only calling you as a follower of Christ to be still and know him and be in his presence. He desires that every people of every language, of every tribe, be still and know that he is the one true God. The next one is Isaiah 56. This is a passage that Jesus quotes in a story that we kind of like. It's when he goes in the temple and he's like kicking over money tables and telling everybody to get out. And it's kind of awesome. But he quotes this passage here at the end. He says, "I will bring them to my holy mountain of Jerusalem. And I will fill them with joy in my house of prayer. I'll accept their burnt offerings and sacrifices because my temple will be called a house of prayer for all nations." Jesus is not saying my house of prayer is just for Israel. He's saying my heart is that all the surrounding nations of the earth would come and worship me in my temple and be in my presence. I want all peoples to worship me. We even have an amazing picture of the book of Revelation of where Jesus is on his throne, and it says that every people from every tribe, every tongue, every language is around the throne of God. Can you just like imagine that with us? Like every people group in every language is worshiping Jesus, saying, "Holy, like you're holy." What a beautiful picture. But we see God's heart in that as well. That he does not just want one nation to know him. He wants all the nations of the earth. And we have a lot of work to do. Friends, right now in our globe, there is 3.4 billion, with a B, people that are considered unreached, that have no access to the gospel. And this is different from the lost people that are in Rapid City, like the people that don't know Jesus here in Rapid City. I want you to know that they have access to the gospel. There's all of us sitting in this room that could go share the message with them. There's a Bible in their language. We are meeting as a church. There's churches meeting all over this town. The people here have access to the gospel. But in an unreached nation or people group, when someone is unreached, they do not have the access. They don't have the opportunity to go down to Bill Joe's house and say, hey, tell me the gospel. There's no one around them that knows Jesus, and there won't be anyone who can tell them unless someone goes and tells them the good news or makes the scriptures available to them. So our family, we have decided that we will not stand by and let 3.4 billion people perish without hearing the gospel. We won't have it. So in January, we will be moving to the Turkic Arabic region of the world. Because our service here is recorded, I can't tell you exactly where we're going. But later on, after the message, I have some friends that are going to be out at a table in the lobby that will love to give you all the details of exactly where we're going, how long we'll be there, and what we're doing. So go see them after and ask all the questions. But our partnership with Global Partners is for this specific region. And I will just tell you, the area that we're moving in is 99% Muslim. 99% of the population has no idea who Jesus is, has no idea of the truth of the gospel. But I want you to know that you all have a very God-given specific role to play in the Great Commission. I believe that every person that says they follow Christ is called into the Great Commission, is called to have a part to play in reaching the nations. And we're gonna study this story from Acts 13, and I want you to see where your part may be. It says, among the prophets and teachers of the church of Antioch of Syria were Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, and Saul. One day, as these men were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, appoint Barnabas and Saul for the special work to which I have called them. So after more fasting and prayer, the men laid their hands on them and sent them on their way. Notice this whole church is praying and fasting. Notice this whole church is spending a whole day being in the presence of God, maybe for no other reason, just to be in his presence. What would it look like for a church to just fast and pray all day? Or more relevant to us, what would it look like for a church to spend a 24-hour period reading the Bible? I want you to compare that practice that we do at Fountain Springs Church to this story. And what does the Holy Spirit say? He doesn't just say, hey, all Fountain Springs Church, what are you doing here? Go to the nations. There's people that need to know. He doesn't say that, right? He says, appoint two of them to go to the special work to which I have called them. Friends, I believe that every person here is called to the Great Commission, but I do not believe that every person is called to go be a missionary, but we all have a very God-given specific role to play. The first role that we play is we support those who are going to the nations. Like I said, we would love for you to be a financial partner and a prayer partner with us as we take this journey. Like I said, we have opportunities back at the booth for you to get prayer cards and learn how to sign up to be a sponsor with us. So we would love for you to use your finances and your time to make the gospel known in places where it's not. What a gift our finances are to be used for the glory of God among the nations. Number two, we can reach the nations around us. A couple months ago, I was trying to sell one of our cars because, you know, we're moving across the world and I got to sell my cars. And we went to the School of Mines to meet a young man who wanted to buy our car. And this young man is from the Bengali people group in Bangladesh. And he's at the School of Mines doing some different work. And within a 30-minute conversation, I was able to introduce myself to this young man. He was telling me about his family, about his wife, about his son. He was about to have a second son, and he's trying to figure out his degree plan and what he's going to do after that. And I'm not saying that, like, in this moment, he became a believer, and God spoke to him audibly, and it was awesome, and boom. But that didn't happen. What happened is a relationship started. What did it look like for us as Fountain Springs Church to open our doors to the people and the nations that God is specifically, I believe, putting in our nation? There's 98 people groups in the United States alone that are considered unreached. They're from foreign nations that are unreached. What would it look like for us to open our doors to them? The third way that we have a role in the Great Commission is that we ourselves go to the nations. And I want to encourage you here because I don't want you to think that I'm up here fearless about what we're doing. Leslie and I have many conversations of, is this really what we're supposed to do? Are we really going to take our two little kids to the Middle East? Are we safe? What's going to happen to us? But I want you to know something. When those thoughts come, we go to the end of our life. And we say, what would it look like at the end of our life if we look back and say, we said no to God here? What happens the rest of the way? So Fountain Springs, what does it look like for us to maybe look at the end of our lives and say, man, I was obedient to you no matter the cost to myself. No matter what happened to myself, I was obedient to what he wanted, right? And I wanted his glory to be spread among the nations. And surely if we compare the story from Acts 13, like surely if God called two people from Antioch to go to the nations, surely a church like Fountain Springs, surely God is calling some, right? Surely some of you are feeling this call to go to the nations. And I want to encourage you to say yes to Jesus. To close here, I want to just encourage you, and I want to encourage all of us this morning. Let's be a church. Let's be followers of Christ who are for the glory of God, who are all for worshiping God here in our homes and where we are comfortable. But let's not just be those people. Let's be people who are unrelentingly discouraged and discomfortable with God not being known among 3.4 billion people. And I have one more scripture I want to show you. And before I read this, I want you to know that I'm not an end times theologian, so please don't quote me as one. But you're reading this story just as I am. So can we just read this and just let it soak into us? This is Jesus. He says, in this gospel, the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Somewhere in the wisdom of God, you and I have a role to play of when Jesus decides to come back on this earth. And as we've seen, God does not want any of his children to perish. So what would it look like for us to say yes and to jump into our role, our God-given role, to reach the nations? Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your invitation on our lives. Thank you so much for giving us your word, for gifting us this word that we can read and know you. And God, I pray that you would give us the boldness to say yes to you and to be children that are for your glory among the nations. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen.